of hands filled the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sand. His hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sands. His hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Put your life in the
And you're listening to Morning Devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for tuning in for the next 30 minutes. The hands of God. Have you ever thought of it quite like that? The hands of God formed this beautiful universe. And if he could do all of that, can we not trust our lives into his hands? David said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." So David said, "Lord, when I look around and I see the work of thy fingers, and I see that your hands have wrought, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" And Job says in his book, "God stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" The hands of God, one pair of hands, form this beautiful universe. Can we not trust ourselves into the hands of God? And I was thinking about what Jesus said on the cross in his final words. Do you remember what they were? "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together at that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breast and returned. But the words that Jesus spoke, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Don't you see it? One pair of hands that form this beautiful world. Can we not trust ourselves into his hands and believe that he will keep your feet from falling, that he will undergird and strengthen you? Moses said to the children of Israel just before his death, And the leadership passed on to Joshua, and he was to take them across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. In his farewell address, he said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The arms of God, the hands of God. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Can you trust yourself into God's hands? The same God who spoke the worlds into existence, who garnished the heavens by the works of his hands? Don't you know that he will surely take care of you, O ye of little faith? He will take care of you if you will entrust yourself to him, believe in him, love him, serve him. His hands will hold you up. His hands will bring deliverance and victory into your life. Let's worship him today, shall we, wherever you may be, because worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who stretched out his two hands that were nailed to the cross. Can we not trust ourselves into his hands, those great hands of the Almighty? Of course we can. Let's worship him, love him today. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Does anyone nowadays ask the question that that Philippian jailer asked of Paul and Silas so long ago? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, that's the greatest question you could ever ask. I mean, inasmuch as our time on earth is so brief, it seems that we're here today and gone tomorrow. As someone said, Christian, don't drive your stakes too deeply. We're moving in the morning. Well, since we're here just a brief time on earth, and we will be in eternity, either in heaven or hell, throughout the eons of the ages, then this certainly becomes the most important question that anyone could ever ask. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The word salvation means deliverance, wholeness. To be saved from the penalty of sin. To be saved from eternal torment and doom. To be saved from the bondage of sin today. And it isn't enough just to believe that there is a God. We have to trust Him personally as my own Lord and Savior. James said, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we've got to commit ourselves to Him. Put ourselves into the hands of God. When we repent of our sins, when we believe on Jesus, and then we are saved, and Christ comes within the heart, and you become a totally new person, I can tell you quickly 15 things that happen when you get saved. What happens when you get saved? Number one, there is rejoicing among the angels of heaven. Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Secondly, your name is recorded in heaven the moment that you receive Christ as Savior. Luke 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thirdly, you become a new person when you get saved. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It isn't he shall be, even though there is a continual working of God's sanctification within our hearts, and that will always continue. Yet the very moment that you receive Christ as Savior, you become that new creature right then. Fourthly, you come out of darkness into marvelous light when you get saved. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What else happens when a sinner gets saved? Fifthly, a new principle of life now controls you. Romans 8, verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, sin's tyranny is broken. There is a new life principle dwelling within you. Just like the trees in autumn that lose their leaves, and yet some of the dead ones will still continue to hang on. You know what gets rid of those dead leaves? Is that new principle of life when it comes springtime flowing through those branches will push out the deadness, the ugliness, and bring new fruit and new life. Do you know what gets rid of the old habits and the awful sins and the tyranny of sin? It isn't you just making up your mind saying, well, I'm going to live for God if it kills me. You can't do it. It is impossible. Then you become legalistic. Then you become a self-righteous Pharisee that is despicable in the sight of God. Our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags. The only way that you or I can live a godly life that's pleasing in His sight is for that new principle of life to control me, to control you. And it is His life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Number 6, when you get saved, immediately you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And even though it is true that we continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and we grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and we continue to grow, yet it is also true that the moment a sinner gets saved, in that moment, he becomes an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Number 7, when a sinner gets saved, he is born again. Now, that expression people toss around, people in politics and people out in the world who know nothing about the things of God, will use that term loosely. It's a very sacred word. It's a precious term to be born again, because this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Verily I say unto you, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And just like there are many people who use the words nowadays who don't know what it means. But 1 Peter 1 verse 23, Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Number 8, when you get saved, you become a new member of the family of God. Immediately, you are born into a family of brothers and sisters who love Jesus and will love you. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Number 9, you are now justified, that is, declared righteous. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens when a sinner gets saved. Immediately, he is declared righteous. That's because of Christ's death on the cross. He died as your substitute. And when you trust Him and believe in Him, repenting of your sins, then by faith in Christ, you become justified, declared righteous. Number 10, your sins are all forgiven. Whatever you have done in your past, however horrible a life you may have lived, whatever shipwreck you've made, whatever moral bankruptcy, your sins are all forgiven when you get saved. Colossians 1 verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. One of the most wonderful things that happens to a sinner when he gets saved is the fact that his sins are all forgiven. Praise God. Number 11, Christ now dwells in your heart. When a sinner gets saved, Christ comes within. He dwells in the heart. John 14, verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The Bible says Christ dwelleth in our hearts by faith. Don't ask me to explain that miracle. I can't explain any one of the great things that God has done, how he could speak the worlds into existence and simply say, let there be light, and suddenly there was light. I don't understand all these things, but by faith I believe that Christ, Jesus, the Lord, dwells in the heart of a sinner who repents and receives Christ as Lord and Savior. Number 12, you are raised from the dead and made alive. That's what happens when you get saved. Ephesians 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, God hath made us alive, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Number 13, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. When you get saved, positionally, that's where you are. Ephesians 2, verse 6, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As a born-again Christian whose sins are forgiven, where are you positionally in Christ? You are seated with him in heavenly places. Then what are you doing so cast down in the dumps, when by faith we know we are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Number 14, once you were far away from God, but now you are very near. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And my last point, and I'm sure you can think of many other things that happens when a sinner gets saved, but my last point is a good one, and it's very important. Your behavior has been changed. Ephesians 2, verses 2, 3, and 4, in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, by his great love wherewith he loved us, he has quickened us, raised us up together with Christ. This is the change that the Lord does within our hearts. He changes our behavior. Now listen, if anybody comes down the aisle and on a Sunday morning and takes hold of the hand of the preacher and says, preacher, I want to get saved, and we pray together the sinner's prayer, and then that person goes out the next week and lives as he has always lived, and his behavior has never changed, then he just made an empty profession of faith. It wasn't genuine, that's for sure, because when Christ touches the heart, everybody around you will know it. Why will they know it? Because I've already told you all these other things. If your name is recorded in heaven, if you have become a new person, if you have been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light, if that new principle of life now controls you, don't you think that people around you will know it? And you don't have to go around telling people, hey, I'm saved, I'm saved. They'll know it. They will know it by your accent. They'll know it by the look on your countenance. They'll know it by the tone in your voice. They'll know it by your behavior. If you love me, said Jesus, keep my commandments. And a true test of our love for the Lord is our willingness and our desire to please God and to love him and do his will. Now, don't ask me to explain the miracle of salvation. I can't. But by faith, I know it happens. I know that when we open the door of our hearts, Christ Jesus comes in. If you have never opened the door of your heart to the Lord, would you do it right now? Just pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to be saved as genuinely as that Philippian jailer was so long ago when he asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Lord, I want genuine salvation, that kind of salvation that makes me a brand new person. and I receive the joy of sins forgiven, and my life is forever changed. I don't understand the miracle, but Lord, by faith, I receive it and I believe it. In Christ's name, amen.
I do not know the depths of Jesus' love that brought him down to earth from heaven above, nor why he bore the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood so willingly. But this one thing I know, that when the crimson glow dropped to the earth below, it fell on me. My eyes were open wide. I saw him crucified. I knew for me he died on Calvary. I do not know what I can do or say. My debt of gratitude to him to pay, but I at least can cry, O Christ divine, had I a million lives, they would all be thine. Yes, this one thing I know, that when the crimson glow dropped to the earth below, it fell on me. My eyes were open wide, and I saw him crucified. I knew for me he died.
Well, I've enjoyed being with you as we've shared together morning devotions during the past 30 minutes. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. And dear friends, today let us put ourselves into the hands of God and trust Him. Those same hands that form the world, the universe, can certainly take care of those who will entrust their lives into His hands. God bless you. Have a good day.